I'd like us to continue our occasional series in the book of Proverbs, looking today at Proverbs chapter 5, and in particular, taking as our text verses 1 to 6. My son, be attentive to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion, and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life, her ways wander, and she does not know it. Now, boys and girls, as I have already commented, it is the purpose often of godly parents, and especially the responsibility of godly fathers as the head of their household, to train up their children in righteousness, to lay before them the commandments of God, and to set before them the path of righteousness, and encourage them by whatever means they have at their disposal to embrace Christ. Perhaps out of some fallen or some foolish notion, parents take a step back and don't try to press upon their children that the need to close with Christ at an early age, and to press upon them the demands of the gospel. I remember when I was a boy visiting with a good friend of mine, and his parents had no thoughts about the kingdom of God. They never went to church. And in conversation with his parents, they once commented to me that they thought it would be good for him to make up his own mind when he was older and maturer. They had entirely neglected their responsibilities to speak to their children of the things of God. Of course, such, as we read the scripture, is the requirement of all. Whether you are a believer or not, you are required to teach your children the way of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 makes that quite explicit, that when you rise up in the morning, your thoughts should be of the word of God, and as you walk with your children on the way, you explain things to them. Such is the task laid before every parent, though it is only the ability of godly parents even to begin to fulfill that requirement. Now, what we have here in the pages of Scripture is a series of conversations between a father and a son. Now, this is no ordinary book which we have in our hands. This is God's Word. And so, though I as a father, and you if you are a father, may often fail in our responsibilities, or even when we take our responsibilities at least somewhat seriously, don't quite get it right because we are fallen, and perhaps the pressure of the moment has allowed opportunities to escape our grasp, or perhaps we are responding to a particular event which has irritated us or in some way vexed us, and we respond in a way which is less than helpful. We have set before us, by God's grace and mercy, His own inspired word. And so, in a way, we might take them as being a conversation between any father and his son. But as we are met here together, we recognize that they have greater authority than any earthly parent. And so we would ponder this as being the words of our Father in heaven to us, his children. God speaks to us through his word, and we have come to listen. The father says to the son, I want you to keep discretion. So it is my purpose this morning for us to examine this counsel that is given upon the pages of Scripture from our Father in heaven to us, his children, and learn such lessons as we might as we pay close attention, even as we are instructed in his word. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. There are some very obvious and elementary lessons that are to be gleaned, even from the way in which the Father opens up this discourse with his son. So obvious that perhaps we might pass by it without even pondering it, and it is this, that God sets his wisdom before us. God sets his wisdom before us. If we neglect the word of God, then we are neglecting God's wisdom. And in doing so, that is not just a matter of an indifference before the throne of grace, but we are failing to heed the very things which the Father is saying to the Son in this particular portion of Scripture. God, as it were, is saying, now I'm setting before you my wisdom, and I want you to pay attention. Boys and girls, how often do you allow your mind to wander in the course of a morning worship service? Even as the word of God is being explained, somehow or another, the enemy of your souls wants to lull you into a set of beliefs. This is what the adults do at this particular time. But I'm just a child. I am with my mother and with my father, but I'm not here to pay attention particularly. I'll just daydream about something else. Boys and girls, even the youngest members here, I would lay this before you, that whether you are young or old, this is still God's word for you. The Father doesn't say, now that you are of mature years, now let me speak to you. He just simply says, my son, I have some wisdom for you. Now pay attention. Listen to what I have to say. Listen, because I have wisdom for you. God in his word sets before us many things upon which we do well to meditate. Often we read together from the Ten Commandments. We didn't read that portion this time, but next Lord's Day, if the Lord should spare us, I trust that we'll be reading once again those Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20. The fifth commandment tells us that we should honor our father and our mother. Show them respect. Now it may seem to us when we are children that that's something of a burden. But if we are listening to what God is saying in his word, we recognize that our parents are placed over us by God for a purpose. And part of their purpose as your parents is to lead you, to train you in godliness. Now the scriptures will not tell you that your parents are perfect. There will be many times that they get things wrong, but they are still your parents. They are still sinners, but they are still your parents. And God requires you to honor them. Part of the reason why God would require you to honor them is that in your youth, you don't always recognize the wisdom of their words. And it may be that because you are young, and being young, you are immature, don't have the fullest grasp of reality, that they are able to speak to you of things which they have experienced and are able to say to you, I made that mistake when I was your age, and I have the scars to prove it. And so I am giving you the benefit of my experience, the wisdom that I have learned over the years. Now, boys and girls, if you despise the wisdom of your fathers, then you are destined to make the same mistakes that they made. The Father is saying to the Son, now listen to me. Listen to me be attentive. Listen to the wisdom of God's word. But if we might just extend that simple illustration from the fifth commandment, our forefathers in the faith made it quite clear that that commandment refers not only to our biological parents, but those who are our fathers in the Lord. Paul speaks of himself as being the father of Timothy, not literally, but after the Spirit. And so God raises up leaders in the church, ministers and elders, in order to bring the wisdom of God's word to bear upon your hearts and minds. We have older members in the congregation who have seen much of this world. We are to honor them also and respect them. But boys and girls, perhaps you don't naturally take your companionship amongst the older members. At times, you desire the companionship of those who are more or less the same age as you. And that's entirely understandable. But what would be the application, therefore, in those set of circumstances? Surely it should be to listen carefully. To choose your friends wisely. If your friends do stupid things, at some point you will pay the price for that. What is the father saying to the son? When you go out and have your conversations with people, are you making your circle of friends those who will further wisdom in your life, or are you as foolish as the people that you meet? In order to do that, you have to learn discernment. And the father is saying to his son, I want you to learn discernment. I want you to analyze conversations. I want you to reflect upon it. Think about what is being said. And when you determine what it is that is being said, then you're able to respond. So the second thing that is being said here, keep discretion, learn discernment. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. There's a very basic statement that's being made here, that people, some people at least, are out to deceive you. Some people are out to deceive you. Now, if we know our Bibles, this should not come as some shock revelation to us. Right at the very beginning, the enemy of our souls, as he slithered into the garden, sought to deceive Adam and Eve. Did God really say? Well, you know it. If you were just a bit wiser, then, you know, listen to what I have to say. Take the fruit. You're going to be like gods, knowing good from evil. It's going to be some tremendous benefit to you by doing what God has told you explicitly not to do. God is, as it were, says it. I want you to understand that there are those in the world who are out to deceive you. He's worried about it. And the words will be honeyed words. They'll sound sweet. But anyone that's lived any time in the world will learn at least to begin to see through some of the ways in which things are described. They're not as they seem. Drive past any place that sells cars, you'll see they no longer have second-hand cars. They're all pre-owned. Well, thank you for doing that favor for me, for driving this car for 20 or 30,000 miles before I have to. And what a privilege to have somebody else running your car for you. It's not pre-owned, is it? It's second-hand. Or when we're thinking about moving house, have you ever seen a house described as a fixer-upper? What is a house that's a fixer-upper means? It's suitable for demolition, might be more accurate. But nobody puts in the adverts, this, you have to be crazy to buy this car. You have to have some kind of a death wish in order to purchase this house. No, we find ways to mask these things. And what is the Father saying to the Son? There are those who are out there to deceive you. Weigh their words. They'll come at you with their honeyed words. But, says the Father to his Son, her speech may be smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as two-edged sword. You take up with her, and you'll find yourself cut. Things are not what they seem. People are out to deceive you. Just because a person uses honeyed words, don't take that you can just receive that and not stop. What is this person actually saying? But there's a third element here that the Father wants to give wisdom to his Son in terms of, you need to think about these things. Not just take these honeyed words, she's dripping honey in your ear, and her words are well-oiled words, and you feel a temptation to go with her because she's seducing you into her direction. What is the wisdom that God's word would bring to us? It's to have an eye to the future. In the end, she is bitter as wormwood. In the end. Boys and girls, I want you to understand this. This is a wisdom from God's word. And here's a temptation which children are particularly prone to. And the younger you are, the more likely you are to be prone to this, though adults are far from being immune. And that is just to see things in terms of the here and now. And not to think about, where is this going? What will be the consequences? Boys and girls, as you are very young, you often think in terms of today. This is what I want right here, right now. And the very youngest of our children, those who are in our midst, if you are an older child, perhaps not quite an adult yet, as you look upon little children, very small children, you'll see immediately that their focus is always upon here and now. They can't think about what will happen this afternoon. Why can't I have candy now? Because in just a little while we're about to have lunch, but I want to have candy now. A young child just thinks in that way. It's part of growing up and being mature that you no longer think, immediately prior to having lunch, I'm going to have some candy. But if we then take that principle as the Father is applying to the Son and said, though her words may be honey when she first speaks to you, in the end, where is it leading, he's saying? Think about what the consequences are. Think about where she is leading you. In the end, her speech will be as bitter as wormwood. Where is she leading you? And so there are some practical applications here as we think about the future. It may seem pleasant. It may seem something sweet for today, for the here and now. But when we start to ask the deeper question, what is the benefit of this to me for the long term? What is the harm to me in the longer term? What is the harm that I will do to others if I pursue that adulterous relationship? It may seem sweet for today, but, says the Father to the Son, her words are bitter as wormwood. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander and she does not know it. Now here the Father is saying, I want to bring in the spiritual dimension. Where is all this leading us? If you as a young man listen to the seductress and are deceived into following her, it may be that for a season her words will drip like honey, her speech will be like smoothed oil. But in the end, her words will turn bitter to you. Where are her feet taking her? On which path is she leading you? And in that context, the Father is saying to the Son, her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. Now, there are three things in our text that we are told about where the adulteress is leading you. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander. And she does not know it. It is unthinking, it is purposeless, and it is ignorant. It is unthinking, it is purposeless, and it is ignorant. Now, as the Father is giving instruction to the Son, he says, I want you to see where this is going to end up spiritually for you. Because the world is not thinking about spiritual matters. In spite of all its boasting about doing so, it is neglecting the very wisdom of God and the one who has made us. What is it that the Father says to the Son? She does not ponder the path of life. There is but one path of life that is set before us, and she will ponder absolutely anything and everything apart from that which will bring you to eternal life. She wants to seduce you away from the path of life. She's not thinking about those things. And she wants to take you along with her. Now, boys and girls, I hope you're already ahead of me in terms of making applications spiritually of these things to your own life. Do you find yourself being seduced by the things of this world? And it will take many different forms, many different shapes. And that's where the wisdom of making the right choice of friends is so important. Bad company corrupts good morals. They'll lead you in a path that... You think, well, it's pleasant for a time to do this. But are they pondering the way of life? And as you start to ask those questions, you say, my friends, pondering the way of life? No indication of that. Perhaps the very friends that you have are the very epitome. They exemplify people who live for the here and now. What's going to amuse me here and now? Without any thought for the future. Living for the moment. The Father is giving counsel to the Son, saying, they do not ponder the way of life. And because they don't ponder the way of life, their life is ultimately meaningless. It has no purpose to it. Her ways wander. Because everything is fixed on the moment. It's a case of what pleases me now. And this may please me today, but something else will please me tomorrow, and they're on to something new. The things of this world don't last, and there's some new toy, some newest and latest and greatest, and that then takes up their thoughts and their imagination. They just go from one self-indulgence to the next self-indulgence. And the Father is warning the Son, don't be taken off with these things. Her ways wander. She's off to this thing, and then she's off to something else. Your friends take you in this direction because that what is the focus of their attention today. But tomorrow it'll be something else. Their ways wander. Ultimately, you say, well, what is the purpose of your life? What is it that gives your life meaning? Is it only to focus upon and amusing yourselves day by day? What purpose is there in such a life that is focused only upon the here and now and the amusements of the hour? The father is warning the son. Her ways will wander anywhere. This way, that way, whatever takes up the attention for the moment. But my son, don't be like the one who is just wandering. Have the purpose that God gives to life. And only He can give. That final element which the father speaks of to the son. And she does not know it. The world does not know where it is heading. If it knew, it would not be on that course. The world wants to seduce you with honeyed words, do this. This is the direction in which true pleasure lies. You can begin to see why. This is such an appropriate illustration that the father is giving to the son. Being seduced by this world, to live like this world. And the father is saying to the son, I want you to stop and think about what is being said. Analyze it. Where will it lead? Though the words may seem honey there, it's sweet, but where is she going? What path is she on? Where is she going to take you? She's going to take you to death, lead you down into Sheol. Her ways do not contemplate the path of life. She doesn't think about eternity. These things are not significant or important. So the father is pleading with his son, think about these things, learn from me, study God's word, apply God's word, so that your delight may always be in the bride of your youth, clothed with Christ when you are yet young. Don't let the years pass by. Think, sometime I'll get round to it. It's not terribly important to say, I am trusting in Christ. No, says the father to the son, I am pleading with you. I am imploring you. I am begging you. Listen to the wisdom of God's word. Or you'll be seduced by the things of this world. You'll be ill-prepared. And the first seductress that comes your way with her honeyed words will set your feet upon a path that leads to death. Last month I was returning from overseas. I had a stopover in the United Kingdom. I was in Portsmouth and I was in a naval mess there. And the person who arrived at the same time as I did, a civil servant, said he was getting the train in early the next morning. And as a courtesy to him, I said, well, it's a little bit before the train I need to catch, but I'll take the train in with you. So I was up, waiting for him at 5:45. And he was late. So late that we had about 4 minutes to get to the train station. With bags. So I was my ever limber and fit self, and I was rushing along with my big pack on the back, and he had a trolley to trail, so he was doing a lot easier, and I was trekking along. We got to the station, saw the train coming in, at which point he produced his ticket. Handy. I still had to go and get my ticket, so he rushed on ahead. Not a word. And I went to the ticket office, I got my ticket, and then I hastened up the steps, and there the train was standing at the platform, rushed in. I said to the guard, hold that train. I got on the train, sat down, took my backpack off, relieved to be on the train, and it was going in the wrong direction. I saw the other guy on the other platforms. He waved. I felt a fool. I had to get off at the next station, cross the platform, and get a train going the right direction. Boys and girls, you may have listened to the seductress and got on the wrong train. Your train is, well, you know, who cares where your train is leading you, taking you, if it's going in the wrong direction? Does it matter where that train was going if it was taking me away from my final destination? Absolutely not. There was only one thing for me to do, and that was to get off the train and get on the train that is going in the right direction. And here is God's word being preached in your hearing this morning. Here is a father speaking to a son. Here is your Father in heaven speaking to you. If you have been listening to the honeyed words of the seductresses of this world and are even now on a train that is taking you, and to be honest, I don't care what it is taking, if it's taking you in the wrong direction, it is immaterial. It doesn't matter which of the wrong destinations you arrive at, does it? There's only one right direction. The path of life, which the world does not ponder, of which the world is ignorant and indifferent. They purposelessly head in the wrong direction, and for them it doesn't matter. If you have no purpose in life, it doesn't matter what your final destination is. But the Father says to the Son, and the Father would say to us, make your destination eternal life in Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, this portion of God's word tells you that you should embrace the wife of your youth. The good news is that it's never too late to get off the train that's going in the wrong direction and get on the train that's going in the right direction. But how much better it is to get on that train early and embrace the wife of your youth.